Good evening. First, before we start, I want to thank the organizers for giving me the chance to be able to share Divrei Torah with other people. We are in the end of Parshas Bo, and Parshas Bo, as the Sfarim show us, that the numerical value of Bo is 3, and we are dealing with the end of the Makos. There are 10 Makos, and we have to understand them in a very deep manner. So let us start the discussion. We know that the Mishnah tells us that there are Asara Ma'amoros. And Asara Ma'amoros means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said 10 times Amar, and the world was created in all the different aspects. The Gemara Megillah and in other places asks, but if you count them up, there is only 9. The Gemara answers, well, Bereshis also is a Maimer. So there are 10 Ma'amoros. And then, as we go in the Parshas, as we're coming to them, there are 10 Dibros. Now, what is the difference between Ma'amoros and Dibros? Ma'amoros are statements, as Rashi says many times, that Ma'amoros, Omar, is soft, and Diber is a hard language. Now, Rashi does not mean the pitch of voice. Rashi means to tell us, Ma'amoros are that which are said without giving instructions to a person, people as a mass, but it is a statement. Ma'amoros with 10 statements to create the world. It switches into Dibros, because Dibros are the 10 commandments said to Klal Yisrael to form them and give them the instructions of what it means to be B'nai Yisrael. Between the Ma'amoros and the Dibros, we find the 10 Makos. And the Maral tells us the following, that the 10 Makos, each one is to attack a specific aspect of the Ma'amoros that created the nation of Mitzrayim. And without going through it because of the limitation of time, but each one of the Makos is a direct attack on a specific Ma'amoros, to the point that Mitzrayim's world is destroyed. Now, the Ma'amoros are a build-up from lower to higher. The Makos go in a reversed manner, meaning the easier ones to the more difficult ones. But they are one against the other. Now, we find at the end of this week's Pasha a very, very interesting insight that we find in the Ibn Ezra, and we also find in the Sephorno. The Pasuk tells us at the end, Perek Yud Gimel, Perek Pasuk Yud Dalid, the Pasuk tells us, V'haya ki yishocha bincha machar lemar, when your son will come and ask you in the tomorrow, mazos, what is this? And as we know from Seder night, we're talking about the Seder. V'yomarto elov, you'll tell him, B'chozek yod hotzionu Hashem mi'Mitzrayim, with a strong hand Hashem took us out of Egypt, mi'beis avodim, from the house of slavery. By he, and it was, ki hiksha paro l'shachenu, when Paro hardened his heart and wouldn't send us out, by yarog Hashem kol b'chochor be'eretz Mitzrayim, and Hashem came and killed all firstborns in Egypt, mi'b'chor adam, Yad Bechor Behema. Now, your son is asking you, what's it all about? And yet the Pasuk tells us, tell them about Makas Bechoros. What happened to all the other 9 Makos? The Torah doesn't tell me I should tell my son about the Makos. At least not in this Pasuk. And the Eben Ezra tells us in insight. He says, we start talking about the Yad, the strong hand that Hashem took us out. And what is that? That's the Makas Bechoros. Listen to his insight. Because through Makas Bechoros, we left Egypt. Not through any of the other Makos. And all of the previous Makos were there to show the strength in all in different aspects, as we'll try to get to, in different aspects, but the one point that the one Mako that came and freed us is Makos Bechoros. And in fact, if we look back in the Chumash, in Perek, at the beginning in Shemos, in Perek Dalid, Pasik, in Pasik Chof Beis, the Pasik tells us that Moshe was told, the Amarto El Paro, go and tell Paro, Ko Amar Hashem, so Hashem said, Bini, my son, Bechori, my firstborn, Yisrael. V'omar Ilecho, and you should say, he'll say, Shalach has Bini, v'yavdeini, v'timoyim l'shalcho. He's going to hold off from saying all the sending. Hine anochi horeg as bincha bechorecha. You don't send out my bechor, Klal Yisrael. I, in turn, will kill your bechor. Now, this was told right away at the beginning. And over there, the Sephorno says a similar insight that you see from here that the main makkah to free Klal Yisrael is Makas Bechoros. And the others are there to establish the strength and greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know that at the Seder, we can say over the Makos, and at the end of it, we say, Rabbi Yehuda, Hayanosein Bahem Simonim. Rabbi Yehuda would give a simon, Tetzach Adash Ba'achav. Now, initially you look at it, it doesn't seem to be much. It's just that Rabbi Yehuda gave an abbreviation for each of the groups. No, but that's not it. And the Maharal and others point out the following. In the first Makkah, Hashem told Moshe, go out to the Nile, where he goes every morning, to make him look like he has deity, and please hold him off so that people will see he is human, and then tell him, warn him about the first Makkah. It'll come the second Makkah. Hashem said, he'll tell you, Paro will say, well, you came to meet me by the Nile. That's not where I have my strength. My strength is in my palace. So Hashem tells him, go into the palace and tell him and warn him. In the third Makkah, there isn't even a warning. Now, if the fourth Makkah would be a continuation of the previous three, then there would be no warning for the fourth Makkah. But yet we see in the Chumash that Hashem told Moshe in the fourth Makkah, meet him by the Nile. The fifth, in the palace. Sixth, don't give him any warning. Seventh, Nile. Eighth, palace. Ninth, none. So we see, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda is pointing out, that there is a sequence here. There is a sequence of three, three, and three. The Maharal tells us, and others in a similar manner, say the following. What are the three sections here? The first section is that which is in the ground. The second is that which is on the ground. And the third is that which is above the ground. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to show in each and every one the control, the complete control of the whole universe, so that we should learn and they should be punished. It's very interesting to note that in Pirkei Avos, when it tells us about the Makos, it also says that there were 10 Nisim that happened to Mitzrayim to be destroyed in Mitzrayim. And we know that Chazal told us that it was that which was a punishment for Mitzrayim was a nes and a lesson for Klal Yisrael. In the same Makos, it was doing both. And therefore, when we talk about the Makos, we're talking about the destruction of that which was in Mitzrayim. As we would say, Mitzrayim's world was destroyed. Now, if we look at Rabbi Yehuda, we would see that really the Makos Bechoros is a separate entity. It's put on just at the end. But as we see here from the Ibn Ezra, it is the purpose of all the Makos. And the final Makos, which is the Makos Bechoros, is to get us out of Mitzrayim. And therefore, when Rabbi Yehuda makes the three sections, that's control. And what's the one that will get us out? That's the Makos Bechoros. That's very interesting that spending too much time on it is the Bechor. Now, a Bechor is a very big discussion in the Sefer HaChinuch and in many Monei HaMitzvahs. Why is it Dafka that it's only Bechor Min Ha'im, a Bechor from the mother, the firstborn from the mother, when in Beit Mitzrayim, as we look through the Rashis, we see that it was the firstborn from the mother and the firstborn from the father. But we have Bechor with pigeon. We redeem the firstborn from the mother. Now, Bnei Yisrael, as we see from the beginning, is called the Bechor. Why is Bnei Yisrael called the Bechor when in reality, as all the Mefarshim explained, Bnei Yisrael was the last nation to be formed, and yet it's called the Bechor. So the Svarim explain is because Bechor means the firstborn, meaning its purpose. This is the purpose. What is it to do? It brings out what is trying to be formed. Just like in a marriage between the husband and the wife, the child brings out, that first child brings out the form that the father is a father and the mother is a mother. It comes out through that firstborn. Klal Yisrael is that which brings out the presence and purpose of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And it's very interesting to note that the word Bechor, as Mepharshim explained, are the second in single digits. The Chof is second in double digits. And the Resh is the second in triple digits. So the word Bechor comes together as being the second. Now, what's very interesting is that Beis is the second generation. And Av is the father because he's the first. And then he becomes a father when he has that child. So the Beis of Av makes him have first generation, second generation. That's one of the reasons why Bechor starts with the Beis. Now, we find very interesting, as the Ibn Ezra points out, that in the Kila Olam Chazdol, which is called the Halal Agadol, the only discussion about any makah is l'makei Mitzrayim bibchoreyem kilolam chazdo. So we speak about that Hashem came and hit Mitzrayim bibchoreyem. And there's a very, very interesting medrash which needs thought. And the medrash points out that it says Lamakei Mitzrayim Bibichoreihem. So we would say that it means he hit Mitzrayim with or through their firstborns. And the Medrash tells us the following, that when Moshe said the firstborns are going to be killed, so then what happened? The Bechorim, the firstborns in Mitzrayim, insisted that Klal Yisrael be released immediately. They didn't want to get killed. The other Egyptians refused to give in to their pleas. And therefore, the desperate firstborns attacked their fellow Egyptians, and therefore they had a civil war. So the tenth Makkah was really a double blow to Mitzrayim, because not only did the Rabbeinu Shalom kill the firstborns, but also many other Egyptians were killed by the angry firstborns prior to the actual Makkah, because they wouldn't let the Jews go. And that's what Hameni learn is, Lemakei Mitzrayim Bibichoreihem. They hit Mitzrayim in their own firstborns. Kilolam Chazdo. So the Medrash points that out to us. Now, we have the point that we call the Yontif Pesach. Right? It's Chag HaMatzis, Pesach. But the word Pesach, as many Svarim point out to us, is that we divide it into two words. And the words are Pesach, the mouth that speaks. Now, what is being said by saying Pesach? And there are many, many Svarim that discuss this in many different ways, in many different aspects. But there is some Svarim say the following. The Ramah, at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, he says that when we make the bracha, Rofei Chol Basa, Umafli la'asos. What is the mafli? Mafli means bewildering. Pela. What's the mafli la'asos? So the Ramah says that you should put Elokai neshama shenosatoli. Put it right after Rofei Chol Basa Umafli la'asos. What's the Pela? That in this physical being, called the body, you put Ruchni, you put the Neshama in this being called the body of a person. Rofei Chol Basar Umafli Lasos. So therefore, it's a Pela. Now, we find, as many Svarim point out to us, that the Rambam and in other places too, that they call that of speech Pela. The Rambam, when he discusses Nedarim, Nazir, and others, he calls it Sefer Hafla, Pela. The Pela is that in the body comes this being called Neshama, which comes out in Dibur. So the Pela is the Dibur. But in fact, it's very interesting that there is a Maral that he, in the Maral says, based on a Medrash, that Moshe Rabbeinu was said, I'm an Aral Sifosayim, and I cannot speak. And yet, as the end of the Torah, we see Vayidaber Moshe, Vayidaber Moshe. Moshe is the big speaker. What happened? The Maral tells us that in the beginning when Moshe was there, his neshama was such a high-level neshama that it couldn't, if we use simple language, match to the body. And there was no connector between this neshama high-level and the body. As soon as the Rabbeinu Shalom gave Torah and gave mitzvahs, now there's a connector, so that this high-level neshama can be within the body and have a connector, now the dibur of Moshe Rabbeinu started. And therefore, when at the beginning he's called Aral Tzavos Ayim, Later he's the Vayedaber. So we see that Dibur is the Pella, is this connection. Now we find the word Pella in the Shira Al Hayam of next week's Parsha. And what it says here, Ose Pella. What's the Pella? Because, as Svarim explained to us, is that when you see Rishoyim have it good in this world, well, that's this Olam Hazeh. But when you see Rishoyim have a downfall in this world, you're seeing a moment of Ruchni touching into this world of Gashmi. And when that happens, as we've stated, it's called Pella. And therefore, Oser Pella. And therefore, when we see that in next week, in the when Mitzrayim drowns in the sea, in the Yam, and Moshe and Klal Yisrael sing, and they say, Oser Pella. That's the Pella. So when we see a point in this moment in which we see Rishoyim have a downfall in this physical world the way we are, that's a Pella. And what do? When you see this Pella, you express it with the Pella. And what's Pella? Dibur. And therefore, when we come to this night called Seder night, Pesach, and we see and we talk about Mitzrayim and Klai and Mitzrayim, that the exile of Mitzrayim is the prototype of all other exiles that come after it. And so therefore when we see that they had such a downfall and HaKadosh Baruch Hu came in such an unbelievable manner, as we say over to our children, there is Haggadah and there's Sipur. One is to tell them what is a known thing, and one is to explain things that they didn't know, but we explain how HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to this world and showed the world that He runs the world and Klal Yisrael is His nation. We are seeing Pella. And when we see Pella, we express it with our Dibur. And that's how we say Pesach is a Pesach, the open mouth that speaks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His great things. Now, I would like to share with you an unbelievable thought that Rav Ruttner Zatzal would say over. And it's really an overview of everything from beginning of Bereishis till Matan Torah. And it helps us see the Chumash and have a much broader or greater view of what is going on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And when He created the world, He created the world and He created Adam. And when He created Adam, and although they translate Adam as Adam, personally it bothers me, because Adam is the guy down the block. When we talk about Adam, we're talking of all of mankind in one being. And therefore, a more appropriate translation would be man rather than Adam. But Adam was Nivra. Adam was created. And as the Gemara tells us, Chazal tells it to us, that Adam had such spirituality in him, he had such ruchnius, that the aur, the light that came from Adam Rishon, went misof ha'olam ad sofo, went from one end of the world to the other end of the world. That's the greatness of Adam Rishon. And we were all included in this great creation called Adam. But Adam, through the Nachash, through Chava, did a chet. Now, again, without going into it because of limitations of time, we translate chet as sin. Now, sin is a very good Christian word. By us, a chet really means a void. There's a separation that has been created by my action between the Rabbeinu Shalom and me. Tshuva means to be shav, to come back to the Rabbeinu Shalom. But Adam was chayter. And the Gemara tells us, he niach HaKadosh Baruch Hu yado olav, Hashem put his hand, so to say, on Adam umi'ato. And he lessened him. He lowered him in his position that he was. He no longer is in that great position because of the chet that he did in Gan Eden. We come to the end of Parshas Bereishis, and the pasuk tells us that I have to destroy the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. I have to destroy the world, nichamti ki asisi. I have to review it, the whole way it's been created, because it's not going. Not going the way I wanted it. Adam was the center of the world, as the Pesukim say, at the end of Bereishis. And since man was destroying himself, it was affecting the whole world. The word mabul does not mean flood. Mabul means bolal, to mix it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mixed the world through water. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and destroyed the world, keeping the world in a mini setting called the Teva with Noah. People ask that we know that Noah came late once to the lion, and because of that he limped away. And people ask, Noah was working day and night. The Medrash says he come out didn't sleep because he was so busy with all the animals. And you think about it, it's just an impossible job. The animals and the humans, the birds, the insects, everything, and he had to feed them on time. So he came late once to the lion. And the lion hit him. That's what one Medrash says. So they ask is why. So they say because if this is the last lion in the world, you have to be on time for it. So anyhow, Noach is rebuilding a world in the Teva. And that's why Noach only took in certain animals that went into the Teva, and he stayed in the Teva until the Rabbeinu Shalom came and told him it's time to leave, because he was forming a new world. A world in this mini Teva that's trying to create and be a setting that the Rabbeinu Shalom wants. Now the Ramchal writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would wait 10 generations to see if there's going to be somebody similar to Adam. Now at the end of Parshas Noach, we have one of the most difficult Parshas in Chumash, and that is called the Dor HaFloga. The Dor HaFloga, which is very difficult to understand. But what happened in the Dor HaFloga is that they built this tower, however we're going to understand it, and it was broken, and man was broken into 70 pieces. Now the Pasuk told us when Hashem created Adam, so it says, Vayipach ba'apov, he blew into his nostrils living breath, and the Targum translates Ruach memalala, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into his nostrils living breath, and he spoke. So speech is an expression of Adam. And now in the Dor HaFloga, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and lowered man again. And he broke him down into 70 pieces. Originally he was this great being. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put his hand on him and lowered him. He was the center of the universe. And after the Mabul, it was said, you'll sin and the world will not be destroyed. He's no longer that ultimate purpose. He is, but not on the level. Now he's broken down into 70 pieces. And now comes the question, can there be a universe? Can there be a world? But we need an Adam. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited 10 years, as is listed, and there wasn't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baraz Chazdoi waited another 10 generations. And in the last generation of the second set of 10 generations, came along, as the Rambam calls him, the foundation of the world, Avraham Avinu. Avraham is the foundation that the world, that our nation is built on. In fact, the Pasuk tells us right after Sheni in Parshas Bereishis, Ela Toldos Hashamayim V'Haaretz, these are the offsprings of heaven and earth, Behi Borom. And Chazal teach us, move the letters around, and you will see it's Avraham. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it for a great being called Avraham. And Avraham begins the building of a world that is with the understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that the world is here to bring out his, the Rebbeinu Shalom's, glory in this world. Avraham has two children. One, Yitzchak. And then he has another one called Yishmael. And Yishmael, why is his name Yishmael? So Chazal teach us his name is Yishmael because he's going to cause such pain to the Jewish people that it's going to be so desperate, we're going to call out Yishma Kael. Hashem will hear our cry, and then he's going to bring the Geula. What they thought a number of years ago, it's hard for us to understand. But we see in the today and it now about the problems that have been in Eretz Yisrael and around Eretz Yisrael caused by Yishmael. We understand what Chazal are describing. Yitzchak goes further. Avraham grew and created a world of chesed. Olam chesed yibaneh. The foundation has to be with chesed. Chesed means a love of someone else. A love to do. A love to give. That's the chesed. Yitzchak is yira. Yira is to hold in, not to hold off for the sake of Hashem. And Yitzchak is building the world with his father Avraham. And in fact, when you look after the Akedah, when Hashem told Avraham, bring Yitzchak onto the Mizbech, onto the altar, it says that the two of them walked together, Yachtov. And Chazal tells us Yachtov is that the Yira of Yitzchak and the Chesed of Avraham flowed between the two of them. But there's one point. Avraham, when he has to come to Yirah, has to hold off. As we see that when it came Yishmael in his house, he didn't want to send him out. It's only because Hashem told Avraham, listen to Sarah. So he had to overcome the Ahava to send out Yishmael. Yitzchak is naturally Yira. He has to overcome Yira to do Ahava. And they have a child called Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov is together with Esav. But Esav, again, takes away some of the blemishes that are there. And Yaakov is the only one in all of Tanakh that's called Kadosh. Kadosh Yaakov. He's the Kadosh. In Chazal, others are described. But in Tanakh, it's Yaakov. And Yaakov is the Midah of Torah, Rachamim. And Rachamim is a combination of the Ava of his grandfather, the Yira of his father. He's the Ish Emes, Titan Emes Yaakov. And Yaakov's reaction has both Ava and Yira in him, and that's the Emes. Now the Pasuk in Azinu tells us, Sha'al avicha, ask your father, and they will tell you. Zikenecha, you'll ask your elders, the Yomulach, and they will explain it to you. What are they going to tell me? Bahanchel Elyon Goyim. When the Elyon, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu started to break down the world into nations, Bafrido, when he separated B'nai Adam, when he separated them, how did he do it? So it's Mispar B'nai Yisrael. They according to the number of B'nai Yisrael. And Rashi explains, what does that mean? When Yaakov went down into Mitzrayim, he went down with 70 souls. What, 70? Because he's starting to rebuild that Adam that fell apart. So that which in the Dor HaFlada fell apart to 70, Yaakov is rebuilding. We go into Mitzrayim. We come out of Mitzrayim. And we come to Sinai. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds the mountain over us and says, if you'll accept the Torah, great. And if not, the world will go back to tov v'vol, to nothingness. 1 second. You told us after the Mabul, after the flood, you said man can sin and the world won't be destroyed. How could it be you're going to hold the mountain over us and say the world will be brought back to nothing? Because Klal Yisrael, through Mitzrayim and everything, has brought the world back to where it was prior to the Mabul. And now they come to Maimed Har Sinai, and as the Ramban and other Rishonim tell us, what level did they reach on Maimed Har Sinai? Adam Arishon Kodem Hachet. That they reached the level of Adam Arishon prior to the Chet. Now, that means that which started at the beginning of Bereishis and fell apart in the end of Bereishis, of Parshas Bereishis and Noach, and is in a question what will be, is beginning to be rebuilt in Lech Lecha and on. As we go to the end of Bereishis and the beginning of Shemos, and we come to the point of Maimad HaSinai. So the world is here for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is B'ni B'chori. He's my son, and not only is my son, he's B'chori. He is my firstborn. He is the purpose of the creation. And therefore, we see in the whole setup that from Bereshis till Yisrael, Mishpatim, is the setup of what Klal Yisrael is, and that appreciation that we have to understand what Klal Yisrael is and who we are and how we represent our Kodesh Baruch Hu in this world. We stand to be the Rebbeinu Shom. As Rav Yaakov Emden says, and others write, that the greatest nes is not Kriyas Yamsuf and not the others, is that you and I are talking tonight Torah. We should have been long gone. We're through the assimilations that go on, and through the pogroms, and through the attacks, and we should have been long gone. And look at the brachis that the Rebbeinu Shom gives us. You know, think about when Reb Aaron Kotler came to America and he said he wants to build a yeshiva for the sake of learning Torah. So they said, pure Torah. So they told him, Rabbi Kotler, it's not going to happen in America. Look what has happened to Torah all around America. How many yeshivas, how many people are sitting and learning, whether in yeshivas, out of the yeshivas, in shuls. It's unbelievable how we have multiplied, how we have grown, and that's only the bracha of the Rebbeinu Shalom. And that's because we are b'nei b'chayri. We are the purpose of what the world is all about. And therefore, in b'nei b'chayri, we are that which the Rebbeinu Shalom wants, and that which the Rebbeinu Shalom created for. So when we go through these parshas, and we are study these parshas, and we have come to this point, in fact, as we said, that we can say, that we can open our mouth in gratitude and thanks, as we say, Pesach night. In fact, Huttner points out a very interesting thing, is that in the middle of the bracha of Rifa'inu, we say, Ki sihila seinu ota, because you are our praised one. And the question is, can be posed, it's not just by Rifua, could be by many, many different things in Shmoneh Esrei. So why is it dafka there? Because as we said, that which has to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim, that which has to do on Yitzias Mitzrayim, is that which brings out our praise. That is when Pesach, we open our mouth, an expression of that great thing. And therefore, we have the Pasuk, Kol HaMachala, Asher Samti B'Mitzrayim, Lo Yosum Alecha. So the fact of healing in a special way for Klal Yisrael, that's got to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim, Pesach, opening of the mouth. In this week's parsha, when the Torah goes through Korban Pesach, and Korban Pesach in its own right needs to be discussed, but Korban Pesach, the Torah tells us very interesting thing, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us how should we eat the Korban Pesach. How are we supposed to do it? We bring the Korban, and how should we eat it? And the Pasuk tells us, Chocha Teichlu Osa. This is how you should eat it. Masnechem Chagurim, your loins are tied. Na'alechem Baraglechem, your shoes are on your feet. Umakelchem B'yedchem, your staff is in your hand. V'achaltem Oso B'chipozon Pesach Hu Rashem. It's the Korban Pesach. Now, there's a question, what applies with Doros for generations and what doesn't? So the Ramban teaches us that things that have to do with eating apply for the generation. And things that have to do with the setting, that doesn't apply for the generations. But then why did he need it? Why did he tell us, put your shoes on, get ready? And then the Gemara tells us in Brachos that, the Gemara in Brachos says that, the Gemara in Brachos says that there was, the freedom was at night and the leaving was in the morning. And the Svarim asks, why did he break it up? Why didn't he just make the freedom and the leaving together? Because, as is pointed out, the night did not have the Erev Rav there. The Erev Rav only came in the morning. At night, there was no Erev Rav. And when we are creating the nation, the foundations of the nation were laid down that night of our freedom without the Erev Rav. If the Erev Rav would have been in here right away, we would have a difficulty of forever getting rid of them. And they are people that cause us problems till today. But we have to be people that are pure. The special nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, put it on, make it like you're ready to go out this moment. You may not leave till the morning and you might have other things, but now it's pure. Na'alechem b'raglechem. It's the pure people without the Erev Rav mixed in. So when we go through this parsha, we gain tremendous strength in understanding who we are, understanding what the Rebbeinu Shalom wants and looks at us in a manner, and we understand what the Ben Shalom did to the nation called Mitzrayim, which was that which caused so much tzaras for us, and therefore we see the downfall of the tzaras and the people that caused it. And we hope, as we are in very difficult moments, physically and politically and otherwise, we really have no idea what's really going on, but we daven, Rabbeinu Shalom, please have rachmonis. It's time, we've been through a lot, we hope that it's time that we daven, that Rabbeinu Shalom will send Mashiach Tzidkenu, and then we can go home where we really belong, and therefore we will be the Am that the Rabbeinu Shalom speaks about and here in Bo B'Shalach Yisro, that we could be that great nation that it will rise to be the most outstanding beings in the world called Klal Yisroel, and we're called Klal Yisroel not because of what was. We know Yaakov's name changed to Yisroel because of the greatness that he will be. And that's who B'nai Yisroel is. We hope that we're going to see the great moment. We'll all be together in Eretz Yisroel. We can come and bring the Korban Pesach. It's yet this year in the Beis HaMikdash through Mashiach Tzidkenu B'meir B'Yameinu. Thank you.